Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Watchmen on the Wall is here each day to bring clarity to the chaos and remind everyone who tunes in that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Today, we are debuting the first of our legacy devotionals. Today, we'll be exploring Golgotha's Three Crosses. Make sure you receive our brand new monthly catalog, Timely Tools. Timely Tools highlights the latest resources from your friends here at Watchmen on the Wall and SWRC. Each month, this beautiful catalog is delivered to you full of the latest books, DVDs, and other timely resources designed to inform you and encourage your faith. Timely Tools is a free way to stay up to date on all the latest DVDs and books by your favorite speakers and teachers. Get your copy of Timely Tools by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Now, here is staff evangelist Josh Davis.
On today's program, we're journeying back over 60 years into the SWRC vault as we hear a rare message from a former president of the ministry, Dr. Charles Weber. Charles was born in 1933, which just happens to be the same year that Southwest Radio Ministries first came on the air, back in April of 1933. And Charles was the youngest son of Dr. E.F. Weber, who founded Southwest Radio Church along with his wife, Sister Lelia. And after Dr. E.F. Weber went home to be with the Lord, Charles became the president of Southwest Radio Ministries and co-pastor of this ministry, along with his brother, Dr. David Weber. Charles served as president of SWRC from 1959 to 1964, when the Lord called him home to be with him at the young age of 30 years old. Charles also served for about 10 years as pastor of a local church in the Oklahoma City, Oklahoma area. He was a gifted soul with a passion for God and an immense burden for the lost. His brother David said it best, Charles Weber wielded the pen and the sword, that being the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, in the battle for the minds of men, right up until the very hour when God called him home. With zeal for the souls of men and undying passion for freedom's light, Charles held high the blood-stained banner of the cross. On this sermon, we will hear a reflection on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as he was hung on that cross, that middle cross, on the hill of Golgotha. And now, from over 60 years ago, here is Dr. Charles Weber to bring us the message, Golgotha's Three Crosses.
And now I must get into the message, and I pray that it will be a rich blessing to you. The subject of my message today is Golgotha's Three Crosses, and my text is found in Luke 23, verse 33. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The trial is over. Jesus has been condemned. He has been humiliated, spit upon, and scourged. With him were the two malefactors, and they were hurried away to Golgotha, just outside Jerusalem's wall. There three men died upon three crosses. But what about the mighty throng that surges up around the skull-shaped mound, where the three victims hang against the sky? They had come to see the malefactors die, to hear what they said and how they would act. The false witnesses were there, the man who lied about the one on the middle cross. The chief priests were there. Some of the friends of the dying men were there. And the curious rabble, of course, was there. The mob is always there. The tumult and shouting of the mob almost drowned the thud, thud out of the hammers as the nails tear their way through the quivering, blessed hands and feet. Some are struck with silence and horror. Some tear at their hair in frenzied anguish, while others weep aloud in uncontrollable grief. But such friends are few. In the main, the crowd is against them, and especially the central figure. Some cheer that the offenders are at least being punished. Some laugh and mock at their suffering, while others, with brutal lip and vile leer, rail on them and curse them as if they would rend them to pieces if they could reach them with their hands. Closer to the crosses they surge, closer and closer, until, "Stand back," cries the captain of the guard. "Have you never seen men die?" The Roman soldiers, with drawn swords, rush in and drive them back. Three crosses in a row. Why are they there? What have they done? With what crimes have they been charged? Why are those three dying on those crosses? Let me answer. Sin put all three of them on those crosses, two for their own sin, the other for the world's sin. Yes, the one in the center is there because of sin. He had no sin in him, but he had our sin on him, for the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. The man on the right was there because of sin. He did have sin in him. His own sin had hung him on the cross. The man on the left had sin and was there for his own sin, but he gave his sin to the one who had no sin, and the one on the center cross took his sin and bore it for him. Sin, what a terrible thing it is, the withering curse that blights the world. It has saddened human life. It has blackened human history. The suffering, sorrow, and despair, everything that robs life of what God intended it to be, can all be charged to sin. Every heart that has ever been broken, every home that has ever been ruined, every prison that has ever been built, every grave that has ever been dug in the soil of the earth, sin is responsible for it all. Sin is a disease that has contaminated every fiber of man's moral being. Like an opiate, it deadens the will, maddens the brain, cripples and poisons the soul, and binds its victim hand and feet, and then drags him down the dread winding stairs that slip through darkness into the infernal regions of a never-ending hell. Always and everywhere, the wages of sin is death, and no man by himself or by any human help has been able to escape its curse. It's a fearful indictment, the indictment of Almighty God, the indictment of the Holy Scriptures, that all men are included under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. The verdict on every man is guilty, guilty before God. The soul of men must bow in assent. The presence and power of sin presents man's gravest problem. What can we do with sin? Three crosses stand in a row. First, let us look at that center cross. Oh, such a scene, so tender and yet so terrible, the world never saw before and will never see again. Why all this suffering? The center cross can have no meaning for you and me unless we understand why the one on it bore our sins. In one of the great galleries is a painting called The Angel of the Cross. The angel is standing at the foot of the cross from which the body of Jesus had been taken down. He has picked up one of the thorns that fell to the ground, and he presses his fingers on each sharp point while looking at the cross in utter bewilderment, for he cannot understand what it means. The cross, the crown of thorns, the spikes, the blood stains. How could he understand, sinless being that he was? No wonder he was baffled and amazed. But every sinner who has ever repented understands. So I say, why all that suffering? They flogged him until every inch of his back was lacerated with deep bloody cuts. They pushed the thorns down into his brow. Then they pounded those nails through his hands and feet while the mob jeered and cursed. And yet, friends, it was not all this that made him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because on him laid the sin of the world, the sin of all the human race, and it pierced his soul. It mattered little, the steel spear that pierced his side, but these other spears, millions of them, deeper and deeper they went until they broke his heart. Reproach hath broken my heart. It was a vicarious cross. the malefactors on either side, suffering for their own sins. But the one on the center cross, God's word says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. On that cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. On that cross, he was bruised for our iniquities. On that cross, by his chastisement, we are healed. When there was no one else in all the universe who could pay the penalty for man's sin, Christ gave his own life. He stood in my place and bore the just deserts of my sin. He was stripped that I might someday wear a royal robe. He accepted those thorns that I might someday wear a crown. He was bound that I might forever go free. He was cast out of Jerusalem that I might enter the new Jerusalem. He died that I might never die. He gave his life that I might have eternal life. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. Now let us look at the cross on the right of Christ's. In the man hanging there we see sin at its worst. The scriptures tell us that he railed on Christ. You would think facing death he would have repented, but no. Dying for his own crimes, dying justly with hellish humanity, he turns around on the bloody spikes in the article and hour of death and uses his last breath to hiss his unbelief and hate in the face of the Redeemer. He rails on him, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." He said, "If." That is the sneer of unbelief. If thou be the Christ. There is no if about it. 1,000 times and in 1,000 ways, he proved himself to be the Son of God. The star of Bethlehem shone over his cradle and led the wise men and shepherds to him. The shepherds of the green field heard the angels sing at his birth. The Sea of Galilee was stilled of the tempestuous storm and boisterous waves, and all he said was, "Peace be still." He fed over 5,000 hungry mouths with 5 loaves and a few fishes. He healed the lepers by the wayside. He raised Lazarus from the grave and gave sight to Bartimaeus. Is there a single if about it? No, my friends, and 1,000 times no. But none are as blind as those who will not see. What do you think of that railing malefactor's if? It sent him to an eternal hell. And how many have followed after the one on that right-hand cross? Unbelief has damned them for all eternity. What was the sin our Savior said the Holy Spirit would come and convict the world of? Hear it. Of sin, because they believe not on me. It was not the sin of theft or murder or adultery. These sins are terrible enough, but under the blood they are banished from God's sight forever, forgiven forever, blotted out eternally. If you spend eternity in hell, it will be because, like the one on the right-hand cross, you will not believe on him. You have turned away and railed on the one on that center cross, dying for you. But now let us look at that left-hand cross. Here hangs a man just as guilty as the one on the right. They doubtless had been companions, possibly robbers or murderers, together. But what a world of difference. This man also turns to look at the middle cross, but not to rail. In true repentance, he calls the Savior Lord. Then he prays to be remembered in the coming kingdom. He thought of his dark past, of his sinful life, and then he thinks, "Guilty wretch that I am, is there no help for me?" He says, "I deserve these tortures to my body, for I have tortured many. But what can heal the torture of my soul? Must I go on in this condition forever? And where will I go from this torturing cross?" The one on the middle cross, he said he was Christ. "I have heard how he healed the sick and brought the dead back to life, and that he has power to pardon and forgive the sinner. I'll turn to him and throw myself on his mercy." Then he hears the other railing on Christ and cries out, "Silence! Have you no shame, no sorrow for your sin? Between you and me hangs innocence. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in this same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our sins? And then he turned to the Lamb of God. O blessed one, helpless and undone, I turn to thee. If thou wilt not help me, I am lost forever. There is no mercy, no pardon, no hope for me in this world, so I come to thee. I ask nothing great. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Have you ever thought about this? That dying thief was the very first to go into that kingdom. And do you know that if you ever go in, you will go the same way? There is a lock to heaven's door, and only one key will open it. Some try the key of philosophy or human wisdom, but the world by wisdom knew not God, neither can it know Christ. To have an opinion about God is something very different from having a personal, real acquaintance with him. Others try the key of character, the key of morality, but it is written, the just shall live by faith. The man who tries to get into heaven on character has faith enough, but it's faith in himself. It's the counterfeit of that faith which Paul tells us is the gift of God. And the morality it parades, Isaiah tells us, is filthy rags in the sight of God. Some try the key of good works, but none of works, says God's word, lest any man should boast. If a man can work his way into heaven, then there is no meaning to the Bible from one end to the other. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And still others try the key of philanthropy. But God's salvation is not for sale. It is without money and without price. Don't you see, dear friends, that the Bible distinctly answers all of man's ways? There is only one key that will fit the lock. Take the cross of Christ and his atonement, and you have found the right key. The only remedy that I know of for sin is Christ on that middle cross. And I'll preach that message until I die. And when on my dying pillow I shall trust in the Lamb of God, God's sacrificial offering for the sin of the world. The Christ which a load of sin broke his heart. Yes, Christ offers us the only way. He offers us the only key. And I am satisfied that Jesus did pay it all. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, use the message of this hour to bring many unto repentance, that they may repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ, the one on that middle cross, even as the dying thief who turned in true repentance and went into the kingdom of God. God, grant us wisdom to see thy wondrous love and thy great compassion and thy wonderful mercy, that we may serve thee with all our hearts. Help us to know thy will for our life, that we may testify to others, that we may witness of thy saving grace, that others may come to a true understanding of what salvation is and of what a Christian is. May we in our words and deeds and everything that we do serve thee, that others may see Christ in us, the one who died and justified us and saved us from eternal hell. We pray in Jesus' blessed name, amen and amen. Yes, dear friend, the one on the middle cross will save you if you will but repent of your sins and accept him as Lord and Savior. Believe on his name and you will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that if you are not a Christian, that you will accept Christ today and make the most important decision that you've ever made. Now, until the next regular broadcast, the prayer of my heart is that God will richly bless each one of you.
You've been listening to the sermon Golgotha's Three Crosses by the late Dr. Charles Weber. Charles served as the president and co-pastor of SWRC from 1959 to 1964 when he went home to be with the Lord at the young age of 30. Thank God his preaching ministry still lives on. SWRC is blessed to present this message as a new devotional book called Golgotha's Three Crosses. This unique book contains information about Charles Weber, and it has several pictures of Charles and the Weber family. This book includes the message that you just heard and numerous questions to provoke deeper thinking and reflection on these kinds of topics. I think this volume would be great for personal study or as a group study. I think it'd also make a great witnessing tool. This book called Golgotha's Three Crosses is the first of a new series from SWRC called the Legacy Devotional Series. It's based on Charles Weber's message, and this devotional book was compiled by SWRC staff member Kim Weber. You can order your copy of a brand new devotional book called Golgotha's Three Crosses by visiting swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's swrc.com or call us at 1-800-652-1144. Perhaps you've been uniquely impacted by today's message. During this special week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, we often reflect on the awesome sacrifice that Jesus made for the sins of the whole world. And think about how Jesus was willing to forgive this thief on the cross that was hanging next to him. He was in excruciating, awful anguish and pain, and yet Jesus displayed compassion towards this lost man who was calling out to the Savior. And Jesus promised him a forever home with him from that very day on. Did the thief on the cross have to be baptized? Did he have to become the member of the church? Did he have to promise to be a good moral man to go to be with Jesus forever? No, absolutely not. He believed on the sinless Savior as the perfect substitute for his sins. And Jesus promised him, "Verily I say unto thee, truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43 makes that so very clear. Jesus didn't tell him, "Okay, let me send you to purgatory to see how you do first. And if you act right, if you do right, if you prove yourself to me, then I'll let you into heaven. Then I'll let you come be with me forever." No, the man was forgiven right away. Friend, it doesn't matter what you've done. No one is too far gone to be redeemed. The blood of Jesus will wash away all of our sins when we call upon him for forgiveness. And I urge you to call upon Jesus today. God promises us in Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone listening to my voice will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Jesus paid your price. By faith, accept his gift of love that's extended to you today. There's no doubt in my mind that God has sent this message to you today. Don't pass up this important opportunity that's right in front of you. And all you have to do is receive it as a gift by faith, believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again the third day to prove that he is God. There's no magic words involved. There's no formula that you have to go through. You simply cry out of your heart to God, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior. If you've called upon Jesus today for the forgiveness of your sins, I ask you to let us know so that we can pray for you, we can encourage you, we can provide you with some materials that will help to point you in the next steps to take as you begin this wonderful journey with Jesus that begins now and lasts forever. You know, for over 90 years, SWRC has proclaimed the good news of Jesus to a world headed for eternity. This program today that's over 60 years old bears out that same gospel message. And we are grateful that God has provided this open door, this beacon of hope, to shine the glorious light of the gospel around the world. Our deepest desire is for everyone listening to join us forever in heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get there, and that's through what Jesus has done for us. So just like the thief on the cross who cried out for mercy and grace, we also come empty-handed before the Lord. As the third verse of the timeless hymn, Rock of Ages, says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to thy fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die.
Three crosses stood prominently on Golgotha's Hill on that historic day. In this first SWRC Legacy Devotional booklet, Charles Weber, the son of E.F. Weber, explores the significance of the trio crucified on those crosses and their contrasting responses. Originally delivered on the Watchman on the Wall program in the 1960s, this message retains its relevance in contemporary times. Kim Weber has recently adapted this audio sermon into a guided devotional for modern audiences. Order your copy of Golgotha's Three Crosses today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Golgotha's Three Crosses at our website, swrc.com. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchman on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Brand new resources from SWRC are now available. Josh Davis's brand new book, Rise of the One World Mind, shows the reader how to thrive under the threat of globalism. Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Join Micah as he takes a look inside the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies, two brand new resources available for you and your family from SWRC. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll study the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ with our friend Dr. Rob Lindstedt. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by simply subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.